Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy snow day. Monday snow day across the Delaware Valley. Had a break, a much needed break in the storm. First part out, second part awaits. So we're in the calm in the middle of the storm. Hopefully you are home safe and sound and cozy in your homes, and you can have us on to keep you company throughout the day. I got to start with something. Let's rewind. All right. Let's rewind to this whole thing. So the Sixers, no Embiid. Word comes down. It was about 6:15, whatever. So no Embiid. All right. Well, you know, chalk that one up for an L. Pacers. Bad matchup, Brogdon, Sabonis, Miles Turner. The bigs should have their way around the basket. They should be, you know, the guards like Brogdon will be able to drive like it's easy pass down the lane without a rim protector. So that was the thought, right? The thought process is bad matchup Indiana without the Embiid. And for three quarters, it played out that way. Now, Tobias was good, and Ben was good. However, they trailed by as much as 20. And it looked, going into the fourth quarter, being down pretty big. You were down 14. You go, well, you know, probably not. And I'm going back between Flyers and Islanders. By the way, the Farrah beached with a hat trick. But I'm going, nah, probably not. But, all right, let me see what happens. Now, here's what I expected to happen. I expected the Sixers to go down 20, 24, 26, and then the bench is empty by the six-minute timeout, right? Like, I could see Indiana with a spurt, right? Timeout Doc. Then we reach the 5:58 mark of the final quarter, and they're down 26, and the benches are empty. That was my expectation. And yet, that's not what happened. No, because of a stroke of genius by Doc Rivers and his coaching staff, he switched to a 2-3 zone, and he had Ben and Matisse up top. Two pterodactyls, all right? In the fourth quarter alone, Thibault had 11 deflections. I got that straight from the Sixers. 11 deflections alone in the fourth quarter. Are you kidding me? They use their defense to spur their offense. Korkmaz gets hot. Sixers, without a beast, outscore Indiana 37-15 on the road and win. And in the waning moments, play a perfect floor game. Now, last year, I remember twice, right around this time, they played the Pacers. The first time was on New Year's Eve day. It was an early start, and the Sixers got drilled, and it was an embarrassing loss, right? All right. Then they had a two-game road swing. And it was the night of the college football national championship. And I was on the trip with them. And they go to Dallas, blow a lead in the fourth quarter and lose. They go to Indianapolis, right where they played last night. And remember, they were struggling on the road the whole time. And they really wanted this win. They had an extra practice on Sunday at American Airlines Arena. Right in the basement of American Airlines Arena, Brett Brown called the practice. Two-hour practice before we flew to Indianapolis. I sat, watched practice with them. We fly to Dallas. There was like a renewed spirit. Brett tried to rally the troops. And they, you know, they were in a good place. However, that night, it was bad. They were up. Same thing. There was a flip side of this game. They were up on Indiana. But what happened? A fourth quarter collapse. And it was the night of LSU, Alabama, and LSU rolls. Because I remember being in a bus after they lost the game. And we're in the bus in the bowels of Indianapolis in that arena, and it was dead silent. The team was down, and all you heard was the national championship audio because the football game is still going on, and a couple of the guys were watching it. And as we made that trek from the arena to the airport, in dead silence, all you heard was the play-by-play of the football game. Good morning, Herbie. That was it. And then I think about that night, and I think about last night. And it's the polar opposite. The polar opposite. Where they're getting drilled. They don't expect to win, and they come back with incredible coaching, sheer coaching from Doc Rivers and such a great staff. And look what Doc Rivers has done, and that staff has done to Matisse. He was in a doghouse early, right? Remember, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time. And it was the perfect time last night to unleash him. Brogdon, who had 19 points through three quarters. Nothing in the fourth quarter. Finished with, I guess, three. I mean, nothing. Sabonis had a big run in the third quarter. Did nothing in the fourth quarter. That defense was on lock. And that's why last night's game was hugely important. Not just because they won without Embiid, but in the manner in which they won the game. Supremely impressive. Chunas, play the bleeping song. I need you.
Get excited.
Did you see the parallels from a year ago?
Yeah, you know what I found out today? Or last night. Brett Brown was awful.
Well, yeah.
Like, I knew he was a bad coach.
Right.
But he was terrible. I mean, the stuff that Doc Rivers did, it wasn't mind-blowing, right? Going to a zone and then keeping the hot hands that were out there because he wasn't making substitutions.
No, well,
he kept the same guys out there. Korkmaz right. goes off. Thybul goes out there and plays incredible defense. Dwight Howard had a huge fourth quarter, at least being that, you know, that beast down low. I mean, you watch that game, you go, all right, keep the five out there. Just let them keep on playing. They kept bringing that team back. Whereas, you know, Brett Brown would have forced somebody, a Howell Neto would have somehow gotten some run when you're having a comeback, then the comeback gets stopped, right? So I'm watching that game yesterday, and I go, thank God that they moved on from Brett, number one. Thank God the Clippers moved on from Doc. I still don't know why they moved on from Doc Rivers, but hey, here you go. You now have a competent, intelligent head coach leading the Philadelphia 76ers.
With a great staff.
Oh, my God, yeah.
One of the things that was Brett's problem, and we had talked about this, was just a lack of staff, too. He didn't have a credible staff. And you look at what last night was about, and that was about a head coach with a clue and a staff that is professional and with years and years of NBA and experience, coaching experience, the whole how he's played Thibodeau, and then last night, unleashing. It's always why, and you know how many times I've said, I loved Ben and Thibodeau up top.
Yeah.
Because I just imagine the amoeba, right? There are, I'll use another metaphor, the pterodactyls, the two pterodactyls, you know, guarding the top, swooping the perimeter. 11 deflections Matisse had in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter alone.
They both finished with four steals, the two of them together, so eight steals in total between those two guys. Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. They couldn't get past them. And then when they did, it was, you know, stellar defense, but the guys down low. Dwight Howard, I've been, you know, I joke around about Dwight Hackward, right? Because, my God, does he pick up fouls pretty quickly when on nights when Embiid needs a breather, and then Dwight Howard comes in and he picks up three fouls in 2 minutes. He had a good game yesterday. He had 15 rebounds. And that was the point. When they signed him to a one-year deal, you're going, wow. Yeah, I mean, you're not looking for offense out of this dude, but at least he can be a rim protector and grab you some boards, and that's what he did yesterday. You're right, Sabonis could do nothing in the fourth quarter, and he killed them in the third quarter.
Killed them.
It was amazing that they went on a 21-2 run at one point.
Yep.
And they weren't bombing away threes. Right. They were finding ways to score.
And then, like, my point is, you saw from last year to this year, that the difference is in front of you. It's a palpable difference in approach. It's a palpable difference in what it looks like. I mean, what does it look like? You saw it last night. Crystallized. Like, listen, are they built to win without Embiid? Of course not.
No.
Right? Of course not. However, that approach, that coaching, that's what it's about. That's what's going to give them a better chance. That's why probably they have the best chance to win now than they've ever had, even with Jimmy and the quadruple doink. So I want to get into this today and the importance of the coach. And you know how many times I qualify. I love Brett Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we say? You know. not a great X and O man.
I'll say this: I think this will be the fourth time I said this season, this early season. They don't win that game last night. Last year,
of course not. And I illustrated just how they wouldn't. Just how they wouldn't.
Yep.
Of course. All right, Flyers, great win last night. Again, they slogged through two against the Islanders, blowing leads, but come back twice in overtime, and again last night win, and last night was about the Farabeast, all right? Farabee, a hat trick. You know, it's my voice, so I was smiling last night. You know that, Andrew. He's got a touch,
yeah,
dude.
He's a player, man. He's a player. That was a great game yesterday. It is concerning. Blowing another lead. They had a two-goal lead going to the third period. But, you know, resilient. They come away with the victory. Yes. They're another team with a 7-2-1 this year.
Yes.
Right? You go, yes. I mean, obviously, our eyes turn toward the Sixers, right? It happens a lot. But then you go, oh, Flyers 7-2-1. They're playing their game. And you got Leighton Vigneault sitting Travis Konecny going, hey, I'm here to win Stanley Cups, not a game.
Oh, he's right.
Yeah, he's great.
Yep.
Talk about, that's two coaches now.
Yep. The power of coaching. The power of coaching. And that brings us to the new coach of the Eagles.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. All right. So, I heard you on Saturday. And we got the end. Like, we had the press conference.
Yes.
Live. So, We hung on every word of the Nick Sirianni news conference.
From 12:05 to about 12:55 after 17 minutes of Lori.
And every repeat word.
Yeah.
Because he was a bit of a two times guy.
Right? Yes.
I'm going to go get the play chart.
Not Ann Lee's two times.
Right. However, and he got crushed.
Yeah,
throughout the country.
Did.
Like, they were talking about it around the country on Saturday. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if the guy can coach. I can't let one news conference tell me yay or nay. I'm not going to do that, right? I think it's an obvious, you got to have an open mind. The only thing that scares you is that, well, if you had all that time to prepare, the execution wasn't good, you know, we need you to think quickly on your feet to be a coach. That, unfortunately, that was Doug's downfall, right? Doug's downfall wasn't about news conferences. Doug's downfall was he didn't think quickly on his feet.
Right.
Right? Like, his downfall was not Monday through Saturday and in practice and in leading men. The problem was he was not a good X and O and game day coach.
And his inability to be friends with Carson. Not that I need you to be friends,
right.
How about cordial?
So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that even means. I don't know. Again, is Nick Sirianni, an extension of management? I read the Marcus Hayes column. Wow. I mean, Marcus, talk about laying two right between the eyes. My God, he went after him. I can't be that harsh. You know, listen. Some things I agree with. Is he Barney Fife, as Marcus called him? I sure as hell hope not. I can't really give you an opinion. I don't know much about him. This press conference speaks for itself, but again, it's just a press conference.
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean?
That's how I look at it. How can you take one way or another, whether he's going to be a good coach or a bad coach, from a press conference?
No, you can't, but you understand the clumsiness and the way he handled it. Some people would make that as, well, can he be a leader enough? Can he be the guy that is the, can he
right,
be presidential?
My thing is, all right, so he can't talk in front of a camera too well, but how does he talk in front of his team? And there's a few clips that were posted over the weekend him speaking to the players inside the locker room, fill room. And
I'm hoping, but again, part of the job is being presidential. You would agree?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So here's the thing. I'm not going to judge him off of it, but I don't feel... I didn't know him beforehand. So...
Right, that was the first time you really heard him.
So it's not like I feel better, right? Like, I'm just looking at it and go, I hope. I don't know.
My reaction has been the same from the day you heard that he was rumored to be interviewed, to the time you heard he was interviewed, to the times you heard he was a final candidate, to the time he got hired, to the time of his press conference. My reaction has been the same. Shrugging of the shoulders. And I go, all right,
yeah, well,
let's see who he is game day. That's all I care about.
Okay, but I disagree with that notion.
Okay.
That's all I care about is just how he is game day. It's part of it. Also, part of it is being a CEO head coach. Like, being a presidential head coach is a big part of it. Like, if he disagrees with management, I need him to stand up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I hated the most out of that entire press conference was Howie Roseman has the say in the 53-man roster.
All right.
And I feel like that would have been anyone who got hired. And maybe he was the one that was most okay with it, which is why they did hire him. And that's a problem. But I had that problem with Doug. You know, Howie Roseman, to me, is still the biggest problem.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Lurie's got his head in the sand.
Well, the fact that Nick Sirianni is okay with that, I'm not okay with that. Right? Like, that's what worries me. That's why I can't give everything a, hey, he's going to be great. I don't know. I'm going to have an open mind. I'm going to want to like them because we care about the Eagles. So do I want Howie to kill the draft? Like, slay it. not kill it, bury it. I want him to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want...
You want him to do the opposite of what he's been doing.
Right. I want Sirianni to be a real deal. Because I want the thing fixed. But I'd be lying to you, and I won't do it. Telling you that, well, you know, all I care about is game. No, I care about him being in charge and being competent. So we'll see. Lots to get to today, including the big trade. Stafford, Goff, what does it mean for Wentz? I want to talk about the importance of coaching.
You mean Boy Genius couldn't figure it out?
What are you talking about?
Boy Genius couldn't make it work with Goffy?
He's a lot better with a trash quarterback than, I guess, a lot of other people.
So we're finding out that Boy Genius isn't as much of a mastermind.
How could you possibly have that take?
I thought Boy Genius could make it work with anyone.
Whatever, dude. You got to listen. I don't know how. Well, I didn't want to pick off. I don't have the debate, but your take is silly.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's do a little weekend recap with the Chewers.
Did you pay attention? Did you see this Klay Thompson thing that happened? No?
Nope.
All right, so the Warriors played...
You said, did you pay attention? And I did not pay attention this weekend.
No, you paid nothing.
I mean, not really. I watched a couple movies. I didn't really pay attention. I watched obviously the games last night. But I checked out a lot this
weekend. So Klay Thompson is doing something fun. He's been jumping on the Warriors TV broadcast. Yeah, he's hurt second year in a row. So he's kind of being a color analyst a little bit. And at the end of the game against the Warriors and the Pistons, Rodney McGruder, and you're probably just thinking, who the hell is Rodney McGruder? He's averaging 2.8 points per game this year. Rodney McGruder for the Pistons.
Yeah, he used to come. He came from Miami.
Yes.
He was on the Heat.
And now he's with the Pistons.
McGruder.
He got chesty at the end of the game. Something happened earlier in the game, and McGruder decided to walk toward the Warriors' locker room, the tunnel to the locker room, because they had the opposite tunnels. And then he's talking smack, and they ask Klay Thompson, what do you think's going on right now? And here was Klay Thompson's response.
Everything seems to be okay there.
Oh, my God.
Klay's figuring out. What's going on over there, Klay?
Rodney McGruder.
Oh, no. This dude might be out the league soon. He's probably mad about that. Who knows?
Wow. Shots fired.
You're over here checking my guy. You good?
Everybody seems to be okay, and everybody's going to their respective locker rooms there. But
yeah, I don't know.
So that will end it right there. But
savage.
Five over Warriors. Here trying to start something like he's a good player or something. It's like, bro, get out of here. You might be sorry. All right, we're done.
Easy.
We're done.
So they had to basically shut off Klay Thompson's mic.
I love it.
Going. I liked it too.
Like going off like you're a good player or something.
That's a great line.
Man, I love Klay Thompson.
I do
I'm
too.
A big Klay Thompson fan.
Yeah, I mean the numbers that he's put up in his career without even like dribbling the basketball.
He's a perfect sixer. Yeah.
How many times have we talked about trading for Klay Thompson? It's amazing. This is something you definitely didn't pay attention to because neither did I. But yesterday was the Madden Pro Bowl where they made the Pro Bowl rosters, the real life rosters like Brandon Graham and all that. But they had guys playing as the Madden characters. So like Snoop Dogg was playing for one team and Marshawn Lynch was playing for, I believe, the AFC.
Right.
So Marshawn Lynch was playing defense and intercepted a pass. And he goes nuts to the point where he breaks his chair. The audio's not really all that good, but he broke the chair that he was playing in. And if you look in his room, he's talked about this 100 times. Marshawn Lynch might be the smartest man. He's just sitting in like a rickety wooden chair. He's got like a beat-up couch in the background. Because remember, he doesn't spend money. Take care of your chicken. Remember, Yeah. Said that to the younger players. I respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you hear players that go broke after their season, their career's done?
Nah, listen, he's smart. He's chicken man.
He's a chicken man?
He is. He's like Testa. Never mind. Can't get that. He's a chicken man.
No, I wouldn't understand it. Snow day yesterday. I just want to ask, how'd it go? It's part of the weekend. They had the big snowstorm.
Oh,
yeah.
It was good. Kids went out. They did their thing.
Do you have any beers? Did you break down?
No.
I'm proud of you.
No beer.
No beer yesterday.
Nope.
What is the prime snow day for Anthony El Gargano? Beer included. Like,
now, see,
what are the prime days?
Now, here's the thing. I went... I was planning on today being a possible snow day. Because today was going to be the bad day. Now, tomorrow might be the bad day. But I bought, like, a bunch of stuff. Doughs, like, to make for the kids. Pizza, like that. I said, listen. I said, if it's really, really bad out and Daddy can't go to work, then I'll do a pizza party for you. So I bought all this dough. I make some dough. And I was going to do a whole, like, pizza party for him. So... whatever. That's on hold. There's always a chance for tomorrow.
Always a chance. Okay. So there are rumors
I was trying to kill time for you, Mike.
No, I know. I just needed to bring up the right one. Tony D'Angelo, he's a defenseman for the New York Rangers.
He's also cousin to a guy you know. A guy who you may live next door to.
Is that right?
Cooch's last name's D'Angelo.
Okay.
His father's from South Philly. It's his cousin.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, he's a great kid. I love the kid, Tony.
Well, so Tony was rumored, and there's more sources out there. He apparently got punched in the tunnel by one of his own teammates. It's an unidentified teammate. Now, the Rangers actually released someone over the weekend, so they're trying to make the comparison that it might have been him who punched Tony D'Angelo. But I got to ask you, because you've been covering sports for a long time. Did you know of any, without naming names, do you know of any fights that happened in locker rooms?
Oh, yeah.
Like, was there a major one that you remember? Did you witness it?
No, there's lots of
good old fist fights.
Oh, yeah.
Was anyone released afterward, or did they?
There was one on the Eagles. Bad. Norman Lejeune. You remember that name?
No.
Yeah, early 2000s. Like a nasty...
Sounds like a nice cologne.
Yeah, dear brother.
Lejeune.
Yeah.
Available at Macy's.
Listen, one of the most... one of the greatest ones ever was the Hugh Douglas T.O.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, the story of that account was amazing. T.O. was nuts. Yeah.
He was in the pool, right? Wasn't one of them in the pool?
Well, yeah, he was in the cold tub. Yeah. Comes out. And, you know, Hugh Douglas went at it, Big Hugh. And the best is he's like, he'll take anybody. He's looking around an eyeball in the locker room. And then, of course, he sees five. And he goes, what are you looking at, B?
Of course.
Right? Of course. It was nasty, man. It was. Yeah, that's a part of the landscape, you know? The whole thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.